for the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
All right, Mr. Brown?
I agree with Mr. Bates. The key is getting our land back from the feds. And here's my plan of attack. The three best men for the mission are myself as governor, because I've had a master's in raising hell, okay? J. Noble Daggett from the John Wayne movie True Grit, you know, that lawyer? And Lieutenant Governor Chenelik, Jim Chenelik. The back of his cards has all the red dots where the feds have attacked the state's lands. Here's my plan of attack, okay? You go in there and you use spiritual warfare. Everybody talks about the natural, but I'm going to talk about the other realm we exist in. You bind those evil spirits that are behind the feds with the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the power of endowment of the Holy Spirit, the power of agreement, the word of God. Take air superiority and then roll in with your tanks on
Mr.
the ground
Brown,
like
Mr. Brown.
Troopus's lawsuits. Blitzkrieg.
Mr. Brown, but
yes,
the question, ma'am. The question was about taxes.
Much consideration about maybe putting
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich.
That's Harley Brown from the Idaho election from last year. He was the biker guy, one of my all-time favorites.
They're not very concerned about what the question was.
No, just about tanks. And
yeah, they seem to want to shove as much stuff in as they can. Anything with tanks.
It'd be cool to have tanks.
Well, we are joined by someone who has a doctorate in kicking ass. Jeff Howe from TheAthletic.com. He writes about the Patriots. Hello, Mr. Howe.
I write about tanks today, guys.
That's what it's all about. You know, the first Tuesday in November. It's all about tanks.
Mm-hmm.
Kick-ass tanks. All right, so, Mr. Howe, we've seen now Josh Gordon has had a few good games in a row. What are you getting from him? Does it seem like he's learning the offense, he's getting acclimated, or is this still just his physical ability and his getting more in game shape?
I think it's a mixture of both. It starts with the physical ability. I mean, this is about the best-case scenario possible for a mid-season or an early-season type of acquisition, just in terms of raw talent and what you can bring into the system. But, I mean, how many times have we seen talented guys come to New England and just be complete ghosts for several months? So this is about as fast as I think I've ever seen somebody come in and learn the offense on the fly at that position, given those circumstances, you know, excluding the entire offseason and all that stuff. So Brady trusts him to make those plays. You see him with the jump balls or the fades down the sideline. I mean, there's at least one or two of those every single week, but he's also trusting him over the middle, and his route depth is a lot better than it was just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and with the slants and some of the in cuts and stuff like that. So again, it's a credit to him and everything that he's really accomplished in a short time, because it's given the history, it was improbable that he'd be able to contribute this much this quickly.
Okay, so you were one of the reporters, Jeff, who confirmed, I guess, what Ian Rappaport had put out last week before the Bills game, that Josh Gordon was indeed late for something and that he was, I don't know if you confirmed that he was going to be punished, but you had written something about how you had heard what the scenario was and that he was late. What happened there? Because we all know that he ended up playing all of the downs. He ended up having the second most snaps as a receiver, second only to Julian Edelman. Can you kind of take us through from when you found out there was an issue and what happened afterwards involving your sources?
Yeah, that was bizarre. So Ian was the one who broke the story, obviously, and that's when I started to follow up and ask around. And there were absolutely some issues of tardiness. And the week prior to that, I was able to report that he showed up later than expected for the trip to the airport to fly out to Buffalo. He wasn't late. It was just, you know, a point where he showed up late enough. I mean, he wasn't late to the point where, like, he delayed anything. He showed up to the point where everybody was like, what's going on? This is later than usual. So that was one of the things. I was never able to lock down the fact that he would be benched. So I never put that out there. I'm not trying to isolate Ian in that part of the story because I trust Ian's reporting. My belief is that, and I don't know this, this is just a guess from my gut and sort of knowing how things operate, was that that information got out, and Belichick probably wasn't thrilled about it, whoever, you know, was able to release that information, and decided to kind of make everybody look like fools in the media and saying, hey, you know what, this is an incorrect story, and now I'm just going to kind of, you know, do the team versus the world type of situation and show that he's not being benched, or I'm the guy who runs this stuff, and if I don't want that information out there, then I'm going to change the narrative completely. But there were, I can promise you, there were issues with tardiness. And look, Gordon's people were also among those who believed there was going to be some sort of discipline in the game. It's just, I can't tell you firsthand that the benching was supposed to happen, but the antennas were up. It was a bizarre, bizarre story.
Okay, if he was not benched, do you know about what the Patriots might have done as either a punishment or what they are doing to make sure this doesn't happen again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he was fined. I don't know that, but, I mean, guys get fined for everything down there, so I would imagine something like that has since happened. They probably just changed the punishment if there was something actually in place. In terms of how they're handling him, I mean, this is like an all-hands-on-deck sort of approach. I mean, Matthew Slater has been really important for him. Chad O'Shea is, you know, as good of a positional coach as they have at the wide receiver position down there. And Jack Easterby, their, I forget his personal coach or whatever his title is, you know, the guy who is, as model of a citizen as you could possibly have, is helping Josh Gordon really acclimate himself to New England in the locker room and all that stuff. So they've got a strong support system intact.
All right, Jeff, Rob Gronkowski did not play last week. His back locked up on him again. He's got other injury problems, and it seems like we've discussed this each of the last 2 years, certainly over the summer last year. How much time do you think Gronk has left with this team, taking into account his age, the injury problems that are now popping up later and later into the season, and overall the Patriots' patience for such things?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's hard to really watch a guy not be able to operate at full strength, knowing how dominant he can really be when he's at 100% or shoot, even 85%. So, you know, those questions do start to pop up and linger, and, you know, the wondering of how long it'll last. I mean, I think what Gronk said a few weeks back, that Tom Brady's his quarterback and, you know, he wouldn't play for anybody else or with anybody else. I think Brady's longevity is going to be tied into it, in the sense that, you know what, if this were a different situation, if the, you know, he wasn't on a winning team with a quarterback that he knows is going to help him and all that stuff, you know, maybe he would certainly call it quits earlier than he would if, you know, I mean, if Brady's back next year, I think that the chances of Gronk returning are very high. That hasn't been told to me. I'm just trying to sort of think through it here. But
he seems frustrated, in your opinion. I mean, he seems like, you know, this is getting to him a little bit.
Yeah, it absolutely came off that way, especially last week when he was asked about it.
Yeah, so why, if he feels this way and he feels that he's losing his productivity, I don't understand what, because, you know, Brady's throwing to him now. Why would next year be different?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I mean, I think there's, the frustration is layered here. I mean, in the games, the guy has to operate under a completely different set of rules than every other tight end and wide receiver in the NFL, because officials allow him to basically get tackled or wrestled with down the field, and anytime he even extends his arm, he gets called for OPI. So that's part of it. The double and triple teams earlier in the season were pretty intense. I think that's part of it. This is a guy who also worked for several months to try to get those incentives into his contract, and now he's looking at, you know, this point in the season, missing two games, and the stats certainly aren't where he wants or expects them to be. And all that contractual work that they, you know, put in over the offseason, he might not reach those incentives now. So I think that's probably part of it. And then, you know, again, there's got to be some pride on the line for a guy who has put up those monster first-team All-Pro numbers a handful of times in his career and not being able to go out and do that. I mean, I'm sure that stings. And then, with his injury history, going back a decade at this point, it's got to be frustrating that, you know, forget the ankle, but when the back continues to hurt now, a guy who's had three back surgeries, I'm sure that's got to be just exhausting from a personal perspective.
All right. So, Jeff, how last night was the first night that I actually got to watch like a chunk of Malcolm Butler's play. I've been reading about him, kind of been watching highlights and things like that, and they've been none too flattering over the past several weeks. However, last night, he's embarrassing. There were two touchdowns that were scored on him that were just inexcusable. And I think Pro Football Focus came out with some sort of stat that said that he was like the 82nd most effective corner in the NFL, the way that they've taken all these different stats. What's going on with him? And I know that they're playing him this, you know, this upcoming week. They're going to feast on this guy. But what do you think is going on with Malcolm Butler?
I think it could be a situation where one of my daughters has just rolled into the bathroom.
Are you in the bathroom right now?
I just had to run. No, I had to run in there to save her from throwing one of her crowns down the toilet. So we got some real life stuff going on Tuesdays down here.
Yeah.
So as for I guess that's a good segue. Yeah, I mean, it's not a it certainly hasn't been what Malcolm Butler's wanted down there. But I, you know what, I'm like you. I really didn't get a chance to watch too much of him extensively until last night as well. That's something that I'm hoping to get to today or tomorrow, because you do read about the amount of touchdowns that he's given up. And I think the amount of pressure that he put on himself last year, I mean, he was vocal about it after that demotion in week two against the Saints when Eric Rowe started over him. And he said that he hadn't been performing in games and in practice to the level that he wanted to. And, you know, the fact that he was in a contract year was sort of weighing on him. And there were some inconsistencies before he started to – he was a lot better in the second half of the season than he was in the first half. So, look, I think all of that adds up and makes me wonder, is the fact that he now has that contract, is there a different type of pressure to live up to it? You know, last year it was living up to the pressure of earning a contract that was in the immediate future, and now you have a chance to validate that for a completely new franchise and a new fan base. You know, I wonder if that pressure is taking its toll just in a different sort of sense.
All right, Jeff Howe, you can read him at theathletic.com, Patriots beat writer. It's always a pleasure, sir.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. Glad you caught the crown before it went down the tube.
Yeah, and also enjoy your day off. It sounds like it's a blast. We'll be back. We have more of the wonderful campaign ads for this year's election cycle.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Mr. Supreme, your 30-second closing statement, please.
My name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, Vermin Supreme. My name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, my name is Vermin, Vermin, Vermin Supreme. And you can vote, and you can vote, and you can vote for me for president if you want to. And my name is Vermin, and okay, thanks very much for coming out today. Oh, one more thing. Jesus told me to make Randall Terry gay with magic sprinkle.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Supreme. Thank you. All right.
He's turning gay.
All right. Okay.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. You'd be surprised how many people have Vermin Supreme bumper stickers on their cars.
Somebody sent me a picture of their ballot, and one of the write-ins, they wrote down Vermin Supreme.
Nice.
So good luck to Mr. Supreme, our friend, in all of the elections that he is going to be. Have his name popped up in randomly?
Yeah, if there was a scratch and sniff ballot, it would not be very popular.
No, but if there was indeed somebody who I would put in the write-in ballot, if he was in this state, unfortunately he's in Idaho, but we all remember Mr. Bays from the 2004 election, 2014 election.
Mr. Bays, your opening remarks.
I stand on principles. I went to jail for homeschooling. And my kids turned out pretty good. I had four sons that made pro rodeo cowboys and one daughter. I've got 77 descendants. My wife and I had 16 kids, 8 boys and 8 girls. If the Supreme Court goes to hell, I'm not following.
Well, I mean, listen, if you're going to stand by your principles and go to jail for homeschooling, then you got my vote.
That's right.
Fair enough.
Because I don't believe it's illegal to homeschool.
No, but he said the proof's in the pudding. I got four kids who are rodeo cowboys.
That's right.
What do you know?
I don't think that the authorities come after you for homeschooling. I would imagine something else
right,
was occurring during the homeschooling.
You would think so.
maybe like an armed militia or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Jake DeBrusk from the Boston Bruins is on the line with us after the big win last night. Mr. DeBrusk, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We are doing well. Is there some satisfaction from people who have been on the team longer than you that Tyler Seguin is not good now?
I disagree with that. I think he's a good player, but obviously it's nice to get a win against him.
We had Bobby Orr in studio earlier in the show, and he was talking about how he doesn't want to give him the coach's way, but he talks to McAvoy and some other guys. Are there any old Bruins players around, aside from obviously Neely and Cassidy, that you guys, someone who's maybe not involved with the organization anymore, that comes around and talks to you guys sometimes?
Yeah, I think that there's actually a lot of alumni, especially when we kind of do team events where it's charities or it's a golf tournament at the beginning of the year. I think that just to get to, you know, mingle with them and pick their brains, Ray Bork even, and you know, lots of different guys, and it's kind of cool to hear some stories and also just kind of realize how lucky I'm with this team.
Now, have you seen the video that just came out that was leaked of the members of the Ottawa Senators? They were in the back of an Uber, and they had been videotaped kind of talking trash on their one of the assistant coaches and their goalie. Have you seen that video yet, Jake?
I actually saw it last night for the first time. Yeah, it was shocking, to say the least. I think anytime you're taking an Uber, you're trying to, you know, be safe. And obviously, I don't know why that Uber driver posted it. I don't know what you know, initiated that for him. I don't know what he got out of it, but obviously the players said what they said, and now it's now it's blown up, and that's kind of what happens nowadays.
Well, Fred and I were talking about it. I mean, who hasn't complained about their work before amongst friends? So when you saw that video, did you immediately think, whoa, what conversations have I had, and are there tapes of it?
No, I'm a perfect human being, so.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is that there's obviously, when you go out with teammates, you're going to bitch about things going on with the team. It's what you collectively do together. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. And if it happens to an Ottawa Senator, of all things, like, you know, does it concern you that, do you have to be nowadays, because what Rich and I are doing nothing, do you have to be concerned nowadays, though, as an athlete, that you're always being taped?
Yeah, you do. I think that was kind of one of the things I remember kind of when I just came first into the league. I was, we'd have sessions actually about that, just social media and things, and now it's more so, like you said, privacy, and I think you got to always act like someone, someone's there and listening, and that you're, you know, being taped, whether it is on social media or now, I guess, in an Uber driver. I think it just kind of heightens the awareness, and I guess it sucks, but at the same time, it is what it is.
Well, Jake, when you guys are out and about, I mean, there's got to be times where you notice that somebody is videotaping you, or everyone's got a camera now. Has there ever been a moment where you or someone on the team has had to politely or not so politely tell someone to please put their phone away?
Yeah, I've actually seen that. I've seen it's usually like a flash or something. It's, we were at a team event or we were out or something, and there's like this flash for like 15 minutes, and we had to ask the person actually to leave because we didn't know what was going on, and just seemed more so that they weren't there to have a good time. They're there to video us doing our thing. So it's a little bit weird. It's a little bit of a tough situation when it kind of gets down to that.
Who does the asking? Is it Zdeno?
He's not out with them. When was the last time you went with Zdeno?
That's a better question.
It was actually collectively. It was more than one person that had to ask the other person to remove their phone. So once it was more than like about five of us, that's when they had to leave.
Whoa. Okay. So one person was enough and they did five.
Yeah. That's when they finally got around to it. What about that place y'all go to in Calgary? You got to worry about that there?
I actually don't know if I got the invite to that because I don't know what place you're talking about.
It's like a bar where they have a deal with the girls that if you have to sign a contract and then they give you breast implants.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Oh, BS. You've been the okay, so you're saying on the record you've never been to that. It's not a strip club. You've never been to that. And even if it was,
it's like a restaurant, right? Or a bar.
Yeah, it's like a restaurant bar.
I'm from Edmonton, so I think I know what you're talking about, but I'm not too sure. Is it called Cowboys, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know. You would be the one who knows since you don't.
We know it by reputation, not name.
No, I just, because I was, it was funny because I was asking someone that's not involved in the organization, someone with another hockey team, and I'm like, where do you like to go, you know? Because what do I know about Western Canada, if that's even considered that? And he's like, I always go to Calgary. And I go, why? And he said, specifically for that restaurant. So that's where I went.
Maybe Cactus Club. Some of the guys like to hit up Cactus Club for a little bit. Yeah, there's lots of good spots in Canada. And honestly, there's good spots anywhere.
Where's the best city for an off night? Like, when you guys are on the road, what's the one city that you look forward to most having an off night?
I don't know if this is... dangerous. I'd probably say Vegas now. I guess it's obviously new for the older guys, and you know, obviously pretty cool for us as well. I think Vegas probably would be there.
Where do you guys go when you're in Vegas? Where do you guys go? Because I mean, there's so much stuff to do there. Like, where have you guys gone before?
Yeah, we usually just. I think where we went was around the Strip because, like you said, there's so much stuff to kind of go and see and shows and all these different things. So we just kind of. You know, when as a group has walked around and kind of found some spots. I don't know the names, but I think we might go to similar spots this year again. But it was a good time, and it was really cool, obviously, the atmosphere to experience that. I wasn't 21, though, so I wasn't allowed in.
I'm sure you were standing outside.
Right
outside
the velvet rope, so everyone walked in.
It was a big hassle for you. Okay, because you're from Edmonton, so I have to take that off the table. What's the worst place to play? Would it be Winnipeg or Buffalo?
The worst place to play would be Winnipeg or Buffalo. I have not played in Winnipeg yet. I played there in junior. And I hated playing against their junior team, so I'd probably stay there.
Okay, I'm just talking about in terms of, like, if you were on the team, like, you'd be like, oh, Jesus, I got to go live there.
I don't think I would complain with either team, I guess. That's the best way to answer that.
Usually everyone says Buffalo.
There's top answers in Winnipeg. I know about that, but their fans are amazing.
All right, well, they definitely are, and Winnipeg looks good. As do you guys. I'll tell you this, Jake DeBrusk, it's a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Continued success and enjoy the homestand, and we hope for the best.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cowboys, that's the name of the place.
Yeah, he said it already.
Okay, good.
He knew what it was. I just think it's funny because it's like the reason this guy from this other organization goes to Calgary is specifically
to go
for
to Cowboys.
Yeah. All right. Jake, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, man. Talk to you soon.
Not bad, considering we had no idea he was coming on.
Yeah, it was great. That video is weird, man. I guarantee you there are conversations all over the NHL, and not just the NHL, the NBA and NFL this morning, and they're looking at that Senators video that got leaked, and they said, just no.
Thank God it happened to somebody else.
Keep your head up, because everyone's trying to videotape you, and everyone's trying to make you look bad.
And if you're from Ottawa, you're playing for Ottawa, and you're in Arizona, it's not like, you know, you're... LeBron James.
Oh, sure. You're thinking to yourself, Arizona, they don't even care about hockey.
Yeah, what team are you guys on? Oh, yeah, Ottawa, who cares? But and then they release, and they didn't even say anything. It's what really pisses me off.
Well, they ripped on their goalie and their coach.
Right, which is...
Your life crappy. Like, having to show... Right. Like, you as a person, but it's nothing, scandalous. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, and even if it was scandalous, just you're allowed to talk to people.
Yeah.
It's not anyone's business what you say. If you're in a non-public forum, you can, short of threatening a life or something like that, you're allowed to speak. You know what? And a lot of times, you're saying things out loud and talking to people to form ideas. And you know, not everything you say is a declarative statement.
Sure.
I mean, you can talk to someone who could change your mind. You could have a controversial opinion.
How about you've been drinking? And you're not really saying what you really mean. You're just kind of busting balls.
But that's what I'm saying. But even in a conversation can be constructive.
Sure.
I mean, you can change my point of view. Or I could say something out loud and realize it sounds bad if I say it out loud. I mean, this is insanity. You're going to say stuff that if it's released is going to piss people off. It's everyone. Like I said before, priests, rabbis, everyone. The Dalai Lama probably says stuff in private that if it came out that it would embarrass someone. I mean, this is nuts. And I don't know how the guy can get away. The guy should go to jail for releasing it.
I think legally he's covered.
I know, but I don't understand how.
I think it's one of those weird states where there's like a loophole.
But he can release it?
In Canada, it's not the same as in the United States?
Now,
he's in Phoenix. Because like in LA, you can make prank calls.
Oh, Phoenix, I'm sorry.
I don't know if he made any money off of it, whether that's legal. But if he just like put it out there, I don't think that there's any repercussions legally.
Well, that's...
But other than,
it's
going to
turn into the Wild Wild West
Uber
if
going,
that's the case.
Other than Uber going, what are you doing making our company look bad? Yeah. You're fired. I guarantee you this morning they're going to find that guy. They're going to fire him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you this, though, is that... what the hell was I just going to say? They're going to fire the guy, the Uber thing, the getting taped. I don't remember. I had some point to make.
You were about to go somewhere.
I was going
to
go somewhere that was going to blow your mind. All right, Rich, the stack is coming up. What we talk about.
All right, aliens have been here, and it's been confirmed. This is no joke. Aliens have visited Earth.
Is it the dude from Blink 182 that proved it?
No, but that guy's like wildly in debt.
Yeah.
Like because of like the, he's went into that whole UFO research.
Yeah, tens of millions of dollars.
And took like a ton of people's money, and now he's on the hook for it, and he's wildly in debt.
Yeah.
Looks like there's going to be a Blink 182 reunion after all.
They might not want to get rid of Skiba. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Good morning. My name is Tammy Stainfield. I am a no-party independent. I believe that it is illegal to utilize a person's brain and body for the purpose of listening to their private thoughts, tracking their personal whereabouts, or use the outcome to coerce them into providing evidence to gain a conviction. My brain communicators would like to speak of the science. Jiji, mama, jaja, 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 babu.
It sort of sounds like da 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 da. It was like the chicken dance. Da 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 da.
Ga 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 ga.
Very chicken dance reminiscent.
What did she say? Hang on, what was it? A no party. She said she's a no party independent. Well, that would mean you're an independent. Mm. You don't have to say no party.
We're all capable of independent thought. She's just a no party.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't want to. She's like the dad in Footloose. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
All right, this is mentioning one more time. We talked about it very early this morning. But last night during the Celtics game, you had a situation where there were shenanigans. As a matter of fact, Kyrie Irving leaves the game extremely upset with the way that certain people handled themselves. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at last night's score, you had a gentleman in Jamal Murray who scored 48 points. Now, at the very end of the game, the Celtics are losing by 8. There's just seconds left. And this is what Jamal Murray tries to do. In order, he's got 48 points. Will he try to go for 50? Remember, the Celtics are losing by 8 at this point. The game is done.
Well, if you're Murray, do you try to score here?
Oh, I guarantee he will.
No.
Nope. Murray offensive end. Now he'll pull away. He was trying to score in that last possession, but he won't here. He will. He'll launch the three. It is no good, and that will be remembered by the Celtics.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray going for the free three in the 50-point game, and the Celtics are barking at it, and he's barking back, and now we got some issues here after the game.
How about Kyrie is saying right now? What?
Kyrie has some words for young Jamal Murray. There are ways to act and there are ways not to. Kyrie launches the basketball into the crowd. I don't know if that's a souvenir, but it's going to cost Kyrie some money as he is escorted off the floor. The final score, Denver 115, Boston 107.
Okay, I know that's a dick move. Obviously, you don't need to be chucking up that three, but all that being said, I've remained consistent with this. If you have a problem with it, then stop him from scoring 50 points.
If you had any inkling he was going to try and do that, then you would have guarded him, but who guards anyone in a game where the clock's run out and you're down eight?
Either way, if they thought he was going to pull it off, he did. Well, maybe try to stop getting him from having to get 48 points. I know they threw everything
That's a better point.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying, is that if you're pissed off at the amount of points he's scoring and how he's showboating, then stop him.
Murray had one of those nights. If you watched the game, you saw it. Murray had, where everything he threw up went in,
it was like 5 for 11 from 3.
The game of his life. Yeah. 48 points in an NBA game. He had the game of his life.
I'm just wondering, like, Kyrie Irving throwing the ball into the stands, is he doing that because he actually thinks that Jamal Murray wanted that basketball because it was a career game for him to bring home?
Well, that's
like, that would be kind of sad if that was
right.
The case.
When you're one fourth of the way through your second year in the NBA,
yeah,
that's a little sad. I think he was throwing it into the stands. If we're interpreting in that way, I would say that he's throwing it into the stands because now it's worthless because he didn't get his 50.
Well, here's what Kyrie Irving had to say afterwards about that.
You know, he was a primary concern tonight, and you know, he made us pay in certain instances of just making some tough shots and some tough layups, and you know, but the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bullshit move like that. So, do it in the crowd.
And Jamal Murray ended up being asked about that afterwards. He was like, "Hey, man, I didn't mean to do any disrespect.
I was having a lot of fun. I think my emotion took over, as it normally does when I get going like that. You know, no disrespect to the Boston organization, the Boston fans for the last shot. I just had in my mind I was going for 50, and I think everybody kind of understood that's what I was trying to do. I really, really wasn't meaning it, and no disrespect. And you know, I know half the team over there, so no hard feelings."
Mm-hmm. Now, despite the two losses in a row, Kyrie Irving has looked very good. Like, he's getting back to normal and the Kyrie Irving that we know and love. But, I mean, it's just been a situation where over the past two games, there's been one guy who's been able to beat them. Oladipo a couple of nights ago, as you saw firsthand, John Wallach.
Yep.
And then you had Jamal Murray yesterday. And that is a problem defensively. For a team that has such great team defense, they have a real problem with stopping that one guy.
They're the best defensive team in the NBA through the first 10 games. The problem is their inability to score. That's been the problem. And Brad Stevens said after last night's game that he was very encouraged. They're getting good shots. What Stevens wanted when I spoke to him last week, and he wanted the ball, he wanted to get easier shots for them to not take so many threes. If you are going to take threes, make sure they're open. They did all of that last night. They're just not making shots. And when those shots start to go in, things will be a lot different considering how good the team defense has been.
Well, the NFL has continued to have a strong season on the TV ratings front. Matter of fact, Sunday's games were so strong on all three networks, continuing an upward trend for the league after the ratings declined last year and the year before. But the biggest number came, no surprise, on NBC Sunday night when Tom Brady and the Patriots beat up on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. That was a 15-6 overnight rating, which was up a whopping, I love this in the press release, they included this, 63% from the Week 9 Sunday Night Light game last year, which was, needs to be mentioned, it was the Raiders and the Dolphins, so we know why there was such a huge incline.
Yeah. Remember when the Raiders were on their way to being good?
Derek Carr got hurt. He was on his way to being a viable candidate for NFL MVP. Got hurt, what, November, December of that year?
You had one of the best defensive players on the planet.
Was a rookie. He was outstanding.
Amari Cooper looked like it was a home run pick.
Khalil Mack was an absolute stud, as he still is when he's not hurt.
Those are three young players that you build around, three outstanding young players that you build around.
You had Blackjack Del Rio, who kept things interesting.
Go for it when they were up by 13 with 3 minutes to go in the game. He would go for two. But it's amazing just how poorly run football teams are. And it's one thing to be stuck in garbage like every team I've ever liked, but it's another thing to, like, have those pieces.
And blow it.
And
yeah.
Just completely blow it.
Here's the thing. And Mark Davis, say what you want about him, but the interview with John Gruden must have included, what do you see as the future of this franchise? And Gruden must have told him, I want to blow it up and start over again. And Davis said, well, here's it. We just were competitive last year. Of course I'll let you blow up the franchise.
Well, I mean, maybe the situation was where he said, as long as you get good by the time we're in Vegas.
No, see,
so you have 2 years to build
that's a
something.
Possibility. That's a possibility. And but I also think more than anything, Mark Davis... Well, we know. I mean, it's been written about. Has an obsession with John Gruden. He's completely obsessed with him. And I don't know if it has something to do with Gruden being coach while his dad was alive or some weird stuff like that. But
well, he knows the fans love him. And, you know, Mark Davis is obviously thinking about, like, well, the fans like him, then people are going to like him.
I joke around a lot about Mark Davis, but from everyone we hear from, he's extraordinarily dumb.
Yeah, like,
Slow,
the Oakland Raiders fans who have stuck with you through thick and thin. I mean, they dress up in those stupid spiky shoulder pads, and they you know, they're a very loyal fan base, if not wacky and demented. But if your final act is going to be to crap on them out the door by putting out there the worst possible NFL team
and moving it to such
and moving
a,
it to moving
such a
it
huge
afterwards.
Metropolis of.
It's just bad business.
Buy a house in Las Vegas, according to Hardy, for like $200 down. Just giving property away.
Yep.